Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. This is Catherine Craston with Beyond Words Live. And typically this show is a platform for survivors to tell their story in their own words. However, today we don't have the survivor because she was killed. So, in her place, we have her older sister, Melissa, and she's going to help us have a view of who Melissa is, what she liked, what she didn't like, who this person is, and then we're going to help you with some resources, too, if you have a similar situation in your own family or a friend or whatever. I'm going to bring Melissa on.
Yes.
Melissa, are you
here?
Okay.
Yes, great. I'm here. Thank you, Catherine, for giving me that opportunity to come on and speak of my sister's tragedy. Jolisa Socorro Rangel, she was born on October 29th, 1992. She is the best loving person you could ever meet. As she was growing up, she always had this side to herself where she would make everybody just stop what they're doing just to do things for her. And it never failed. We were doing something, you know, come over and color with me or come over and play with me. And, you know, most of us would be busy, you know, doing little things around the house, chores, and there goes my mom. You know, I thought I told you guys to do chores. And then, well, my sister said, well, I wanted for them to color with me because she was the baby of the girls. And then after that, you know, it's my little brother, but she's the baby of the girls. So she always had it her way. She always got it her way. And she had this irresistible personality where she was a very morning person. And she would always get up every morning, you know, as time, you know, grew on, you know, she became an adult. She graduated from high school. She decided to go through college. She started working with the Doctor Hospital Renaissance Hospital with the geriatric unit for children.
Oh, wow.
That was her department. Yes. I have 6 years experience in the medical field myself. And she always, you know, set herself as an example for her son because she did leave a three-year-old behind, and she wanted to make a better life for her son.
Was she married?
No. She was not married. She did have a spouse, yes. She did have a spouse, but she was not married. And she just wanted, like I said, she wanted to make a better life for her son, for herself and her son. That was her main responsibility always. Her son always came first, no matter what. And her schedule may have been those crazy hours of working 3 days on, you know, really late at night, overnight, but she always found a way to make time for her son. And that's what I loved about her because, you know, we see a lot of women out there that, you know, they try to make the best for their children to move forward for the positive, and that she was setting that example for, you know, anybody out there that was going through a situation financially or just, you know, a struggle or something that was going on in their life that wasn't going very well. She was always the one to, you know what, this is what I'm going through, but I'm doing it. And, I mean, that's the only thing I have left of her is just memories. And, of course, her little treasure. And he is known as the Great Bambino. That's his nickname.
And how old is he now?
He's 3 now. He'll be turning 4 in January.
So he's living with family members now.
He's with his father.
Oh,
he
okay.
He is with his father. Yes.
And they're still around in the area?
Oh, yes, definitely. All our families in his life. We try to share little moments with him, and he knows about his mom, but it's just, sometimes it's very difficult to explain to a child, you know, why their mom is, you know, not here physically. Because he sees pictures, he sees, you know, pictures of him and, you know, my sister, and he'll ask, you know, I want my mommy back. Or there will be days where he'll hear, like, us calling, you know, our mom, mom, you know, hey, mom. And he just, he comprehends, like, you know what, well, where's my mom? You know, he remembers and he knows. And I always just, you know, tell him that his mother loved him always, and he's all that she's always going to be there for him no matter what.
Right.
And he comprehends a little bit, but for a child that age to understand, it's, you know, it's just something that's very difficult to explain to him.
Oh, yeah. Whenever a child loses a parent, it's just, it's hard for them to comprehend what that means, especially when they're at a young age. You know, okay, well, they're not here. When are they coming back? Yeah, type thing.
Right.
It's hard to really, that's such an early age to have the discussion about death and what that means, and, you know.
Yes.
But the father is still involved. That's good. So
that is correct. Yes.
When all this occurred, what had happened that she was at home and the father wasn't and the child wasn't, or was the child there too?
He was visiting his parents in another area in Harlingen, in Brownsville, actually, Brownsville, Texas. His parents would live over there, so he had taken him over there to see his parents, which is the other grandparents, Bambino's other grandparents on his side. So he had taken him over there. And it so happened that my sister, that night when it happened, my sister was just getting out of work. At around 9:23 is when those cowards came to my sister's apartment, and they used a violent act of crime. I always have, from that night, it just repeats itself. You know, three cowards just pulled up to my sister's apartment. They got down. They tried breaking through the front door, and they weren't able to. My sister was standing behind the door, and they shot through the door. Multiple gunshot wounds is what killed my sister.
Wow.
And from that day then on, it's just, you know, it is an ongoing investigation. FBI is assisting because there is video footage, and there is a certain type of footage that cannot be released out to the press, but there is footage of those three cowards driving away from my sister's apartment.
So what day?
October 25th, 2013. And it was 4 days before her 21st birthday.
Oh, man. And what town was this in?
Edinburgh, Texas.
Edinburgh, okay.
Edinburgh, yes, ma'am. Off of 2400 Kimberly Lane, and it was at an apartment complex.
Wow. And I guess you really don't know if she had had any conversations or threats or anything that led up to this.
None whatsoever. We just want to know who did it, and we want to bring them to justice. The reason to that is no one's life deserves to be taken from them.
Absolutely.
Yes, no one's life. I always say, you know, they went with a weapon is because they made a choice to go out there and do something wrong.
Absolutely.
And I strongly believe about that. Guns don't shoot people.
Mm-mm.
The people who pulls the trigger is the one who kills the people.
Absolutely.
And many people out here, whenever we tell them about my sister's tragedy, they kind of just, they really don't know what to tell us, or they just, you know, their response, some are negative, some are positive. The negative ones I get is more of, well, you have other siblings, and just get over it. Life happens. Just move on. And to me, it's more of, I'm a very civil person. I'm not going to go out there and just say, you know what, this is what I think of you, or no. I'm going to educate the people out there and let them know that it's not easy. And it's not a story to tell. This is a tragedy, because the reality is I'm living with this for the rest of my life. I have to adjust my life knowing that my sister was murdered. And murder to me is a loved one taken from, you know, my family. They have broken a part of my family chain from my siblings. And each sibling is their own individual. There's not going to be another Jolisa. There's no comparison to any of my other sisters. She was her own individual person. So I try my best to just educate the people, inform them. And if they have any information, you know, please contact, you know, the tips line. Please follow our page. It's called Justice for Jolisa, and it's at facebook.com. And, you know, it is expanding. We have so many families that have opened up to us. And
right.
Even if it's just for them to talk to us and we hear them, because like I said, this is coming from a sibling. I'm not, you know, I'm not a parent. I don't have children. But
right.
When I see my mom, it's very hard because she can be looking at my sister's pictures and, you know, that's one of her children that was taken from her. And all of us were very close.
Well, you
there wasn't a day that we wouldn't... I'm sorry?
You have a very large family, right?
Yes. 10 siblings in total.
That's a lot.
That's a lot,
I'm
yes.
Like four in total. 10, I don't know what my mom would have done. But what other avenue... What other things can you tell us about that day so that it might click a memory in somebody's mind about something that they might have seen and have just kind of not realized it? You know what I'm saying?
To be there all night to see and to wait what really did happen. And for the investigators and for the forensic team
mm-hmm.
and to wait for the mortuary, the van that comes and picks up the body, I waited all night. And that's something that will never disappear from my mind. Seeing my sister being pulled out in a body bag, that will never disappear from my mind.
But they appeared in, what, 3 trucks, did you say, or?
3 trucks, yes, ma'am. Three trucks. They got down. There are three cowards. It only took them 2 minutes, and they didn't get past the door. They just shot through the door, and to my understanding is they ran, the cowards that they are, because they saw my sister lying on the floor. So they already knew they had done something wrong. And it was a choice that they made. And so...
Do you think their intent was to kill your sister or their intent was to rob the place? Or do you know? Do you have any idea?
I honestly believe that, you know, they're... We really don't know
right.
as far as what they were going out there to do. But to me... I know that after going through this tragedy before, and
right.
like I said, I have experience in the medical field, there was other
mm-hmm.
families that would come in and they would tell me of, you know, what happened to their loved one. And to them,
yeah.
you know, I would always reach out to them and tell them, you know, we are here for you medically, you know, to keep you healthy, to keep you strong,
right.
to keep you moving forward. I would never
right.
tell them, you know what, forget of your loved one. But...
Right.
Edinburgh is such a small community. Someone out there has to know who did this to my sister. And it was 3 that are involved. So, to me, I honestly believe that if it was someone that was going to go and do harm, it's a choice. And there is consequences if something does, you know, happen and it's wrong. Murder is not entertainment. It's wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
It's not
so...
let's see how many people we hit, you know, it's not anything like that. You know, there's all
right.
these disastrous games where they just walk down the street and suddenly hit somebody in the nose to see how fast they will fall down. It's nothing like
right.
that either. Now, that's dangerous enough, but, you know, to think of this as a game or you know, something of the sort is just beyond belief. You know,
yes.
You didn't wish anybody would have the audacity.
No, I never wish any other families bad. Even the families that asked for help, I would never wish them bad. I always told them that we are here to help them, you know, through their good, through their times where they were not able to get themselves up or they just didn't want to talk, you know, they didn't want to go to work. You know, little things that counted the most is to be there for each other and to actually speak to one another. And for my sister's case, I'm going to continue to fight for justice because I believe it's equal rights and justice for all, for each and every single individual and family out there that are victims or that have had a loved one, you know, murdered through an act of violence or in domestic violence or in assault, rape.
Right.
You know, a person does not wake up one morning and ask for that. But they are poor. Unfortunately, there's, you know, people out there that are cowards and think that they're able to get away with this. And I put my faith in it, and I know these cowards will get caught soon. And it is a year, 1 month, and 13 days today.
Wow. And I know it's affected you. What about your other siblings? I know it's affected you.
My other siblings, they grieve different. There are some days for them that it's better than others. There are some days where they just want to keep to themselves, and I understand. I have my little brother who is in the military, and the very last time that he saw my sister was the 4th of July of 2013. That is the very last time he saw her. And then to fly him down here through the American Red Cross and to for him to hear from us that what had happened to our sister. And that was the hardest part to tell him.
Well, and the servicemen go out there to protect us so that we're safe in our homes and to come and find out that his own sister was not safe. You know, I'm sure that was absolutely devastating.
Yes.
You know, heartbreaking.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh, I just can't imagine being in your shoes. You know, I've had my husband die of a heart attack in our own home. That was hard enough. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine even being in your shoes of having a relative being shot in their own home, knowing them one day and one moment and, you know, maybe of talking to them the day before and then the following day not even having them. I just can't imagine that, you know, especially so ruthlessly and by cowards, as you say. You know, these people that just came up and just took her life away for no reason, no apparent reason. That's insane.
That is correct. Yeah, that is correct.
So,
and I walk in those shoes every day.
I'm sure.
I'm thinking about what you're saying right now is to walk in your shoes. I walk in my shoes every single day. And every single day, every morning, I have to get up and remind myself that I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to get up. It's another day. I have to get up. But then once I start working and then I kind of just take a little break, it just, it comes back to me. It comes back to me that, you know, my sister's not present anymore. You know, what, you know, I really want these cowards to be brought to justice because they took something away from us. Not as to punish them and get back at them. No, as they did a crime and they need to be punished for it. And they need to do time.
Absolutely. And somebody may be feeling guilty and they should come forward. Somebody may be talking and bragging about it. And
yes,
people that are being bragged to about it, you know, they need to come forward and tell because this is a travesty. It's a tragedy. Mm-hmm. in every sense of the word. And y'all need to have peace in knowing at least that the case has been resolved. It's not going to bring her back by any means, but at least you will know, you know, not have to wonder who this person is and who they're going to harm next. You know, we want this, these people off the street.
Yes.
Exactly. So
I've been involved. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You all have involved the Edinburgh police, obviously.
Yes.
At some point in time. And I know y'all have probably spread out flyers and everything else that you can do. What are some of the other things that y'all have done to try to help bring about?
I do an event every 6 months. This past April 25th, 2014, I did an event in memory of my sister to keep her memory positive and alive, to keep it going. Mm-hmm. And for all the supporters and all for family members that have lost a loved one through a tragedy, come out and meet the rest of our family. And I had posted it on Facebook, and 80 people showed up. Because I know there are some families out there that say they're not ready or it's very hard for them. You know, I understand. I'm not going to push on a family. I'm not going to force them whenever they are ready. But we welcome, our family welcomes them with open arms. They are welcome to Jolisa's family. And that's what
that
I have done.
Great.
I've done small events.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's great because, you know, anytime someone has lost someone like that, it's comforting to be around others that have been in similar situations. Because until you've walked in those shoes, you don't know the exact experience. It's like having someone going through domestic violence until someone has walked in that type of shoes, they don't necessarily understand the emotions that are involved in the, you know, the whole turmoil. And I'm sure there's a rush of emotions to those that have survived, in a sense, the siblings, the parents, everybody around them, the friends, the family, everybody is around them has survived the initial onset of the information that their daughter, their son, whoever has been killed. But it's just, you know, a little bit different when you are right in that situation and can really fully understand what's going on. And I commend you for that, you know, being that open to having other people come forward to y'all, not necessarily about Jalisa, but also about, you know, their own children, their own family members who have been suddenly lost and are grieving. And, you know, like you said, everybody grieves at a different pace. So whenever they're ready to come towards, you know, find you, you know, all the more power for them to do so. And
it will continue with the events.
Yeah.
I will continue with the events. I did one for her 1 year anniversary. We all met at the cemetery. We did a rosary for her. We had, you know, a little bit of music. We also spoke up there. You know, I spoke of the tragedy again. And every time, I always tell the tragedy of that night of what I saw. And, of course, my mom hadn't spoken out about Jolisa's tragedy until her 1 year. She actually got up there and she spoke. And she was talking, you know, as, you know, a mother to all mothers. And it was just, you know, something that was so difficult for my mom at first. And now she's starting to open up more. And I tell her, I want to share Jolisa's tragedy with every single person that I can, because My sister was a wonderful person, very loving, very loud at times, but loud in the sense of, come on, you know, like motivation, like let's go. You know, there, she was always, you know, morning person, like I said. You know, in the morning, I'm just, I'm trying to get up, and her, no, good morning, I'm ready, let's go, let's do this. And, you know, I'm just here walking, you know, trying to get the day started. But
right,
that's what we continue. And I'm also working to start a scholarship fund for her. I've already posted it on the Justice for Jaleesa page. Yes. I have to meet certain criteria with the school district in order to have that scholarship in memory of her. So that's
right.
another positive that it's going to keep her memory alive and moving forward. And I already posted it on the Justice for Jaleesa Facebook. And any donations is greatly appreciated. I am doing this for my sister because I want for her memory to be alive and to stay positive. And for anybody out there that is going through a similar tragedy or maybe different, I just want to tell them they're not alone. We are here. I am always on Justice for Jaleesa page. I always receive private inbox messages, and I answer back. It may not be right away, but I do answer back. And even if it's just to talk or, you know, to go for a cup of coffee, I am there. So I just want to reach out to all the families. And we do have a support group here in the Valley. It's called Rio Grande Valley Parents and Friends of Murdered Children. Mr. Robert, he has been there for my family, and he's done a tremendous job in everything that he's done for us. And he's always there whenever any other family needs him as well. And he does have a Facebook page as well, and it's called RGV, Parents and Friends of Murdered Children. Anybody who would like to post their tragedy on there or on Justice for Jaleesa page, I share it. It's going to be worldwide. Everybody will see it. Other countries will see it.
I don't know if you're on Twitter yet, but you ought to have a hashtag, like tag Justice for Jaleesa, you know, and maybe that will spur some others, you know.
On the Twitter one, it's through a documentary through Justice for My Sister. Her name is Kimberly Bautista. She is from Los Angeles, California, and she is a director of documentaries for domestic violence, murder, homicide for the women that, you know, have gone through, the families have gone through a tragedy all around the world. She travels and she does documentaries to seek justice for these families. And she has done a small documentary as well, and it's on Justice for My Sister. All the links that have been, you know, have been sent to me, and they've been posted on Justice for Jaleesa. And it's very small documentaries, maybe about 2 to 4 minutes long, and it gives, you know, a small, you know, if it's something that was by the media, through journal articles, through anything that has to give through information for, like, the police department, she has conducted all of that together as well. And same for your radio blog today. I posted that as well. And I have everybody right now, all my family that's listening, and everybody that is a supporter, they are listening as well. And they are going to share this radio blog as well, the Beyond Words Live, so that we will follow and continue. And because I know you talk to other families, and I know you talk to other families in reference to different types. I saw one for lymphoma. I saw some.
Domestic violence and stalking and human trafficking.
Yes. I've seen all of that.
Very.
Yes, on your.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, I do want to encourage, you know, other families to not give up, like you and your family have not given up. It's so hard to stay strong each and every day and to not give up, but it's really important that you don't. Because a lot of times the greasy wheel, you know, really gets the things turning if you keep pushing at it, and, you know, whether it's with the police or your community, or now you're with the FBI at this point, but, you know.
They're assisting. They are assisting. Yeah. They haven't taken over the case. They are assisting, though.
Okay, that's good. That's good. At least they're getting involved, and the more people that do get involved, the more opportunities that hopefully you will find this justice for your sister. Very powerful. I am just so glad to be able to talk to you today and be able to help you share this information with others and hopefully keep it moving forward. One thing I would like to ask you, though, is a question I often ask is, as a survivor, and technically you are a survivor, okay? How do you define being a survivor today? What does that look like for you today? It may look different in 5 years, but how does it look for you today? What does that mean?
It looks for me, I try my best to take it every day because, you know, some of us, some of the days are better than others. You know, there is at times where I do get sad because I miss my sister. And, you know, as the years go by, you know, holidays come around, birthdays, you know, Mother's Day, you know, just, you know, Nurse's Day, just little things like that, that just, it triggers a part in your memory because, you know, that's all I have. And besides, you know, having a little treasure, the great Bambino. But as I see it for myself now, I just, you know, I pray to God every day that he gives me the strength, and he has answered me because I'm doing this. I am being the voice for my sister.
Right.
And for other families that, you know, may not be able to speak, or just, you know, they're not ready because it's too early or it's been years. You know, someone needs to just say, you know what? You're not alone. You know, we are united. We are together. And with this, we will continue to fight for justice. And that's what we want, is justice. We want to do this a positive way. We want the law to bring these cowards to justice. And for the families out there that have not received justice, I tell them, do not give up. And do not stop talking about your loved ones, because they will never be forgotten. Mm-hmm. And never leave them behind. And that's what I am doing with my sister. From all these events, from all this fundraising, I made bracelets with her name on them, black and red, because that symbolizes murder victims. And I made T-shirts. I've made little scarves. We are getting ready to put up a in remembrance of murder victims Christmas tree at my brother's and sister-in-law's business. And they, you know, we are going to decorate that tomorrow. And each and every single loved one out there is welcome to put their ornament, anything that symbolizes them. For my sister, her favorite color was orange. She liked Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. And she always encouraged mothers that were going to be moms, like the new mommies, to breastfeed because she did it 100%.
Wow. That's amazing. And I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. And, it is so important to keep our family members, our friends alive, even when they're gone. Their memories live on and help to empower other people and encourage other people and inspire other people and hopefully bring a better world to this criminal justice system that we have so that we don't have to wait a year or more to find out who killed our loved ones. Right?
Right, that is correct. And it is the people that work behind the desk because not all law enforcement is the same, and not nobody is the same in the profession that they're in, but if they want to help you, they will go out of their way to help you as much as they can. Right. I've learned that from the experience of my profession. I will go out of my way to find out the information you need to give you to answer the questions you ask to the best of my knowledge, and I will find you references, I will find you research, and if not, I will refer you. I go out of my way because that is just the person that I am.
And I think most advocates, true advocates, are like that. And just finding other people that are advocates often can help trillions people beyond belief, because they have access to so many resources to begin with. And like you said, we'll continue looking for others that resources, because new resources keep popping up all the time, and that do maybe something a little bit different than other resources, and maybe meet some other particular needs. So, very powerful. I'm just so glad that you're able to join us. Any last words that you would like to share before we go?
Yes, Ms. Catherine. I'd like to thank you for having me on your radio blog.
Oh, you're
and
welcome.
I want to do another one if you keep me posted on little small events that you throw or that you've done, or any, other type of, show, any other type of radio blogs. I would like for you to, keep me in mind and keep in touch. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my sister's tragedy. And I will continue to share your link, your Facebook page. And for all the families out there and supporters, thank you for supporting Justice for Jaleesa. My family and I know the supporters and the followers that have been there from the beginning, and I thank you. And I thank each and every single person for taking the time out of their day to read my post, because that is what I feel, and I express myself. And like I always put in there, negative comments are not going to be tolerated, because we want to keep our loved one positive, keep them alive, never forgotten, and never left behind. So, Ms. Catherine, thank you so much for having me on your Beyond Words Live.
You're so very welcome, and the invitation is an open invitation anytime. You know how to get
thank
hold
you.
Of me and say, hey,
yes.
We're going to have this event out. I can talk about this or whatever updates you find out. Please
yes.
feel free to, share it with our listeners and keep us posted.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you have a very good day. I know it's a tough subject to talk about. And when you're talking about a loved one, but there's power in sharing your voice. And the more times that we can share our voice, it's just so much more impactful. And
yes.
Thank you. Have a great
thank
day.
You.
Do something good for yourself today, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty then.
All right. Have a good day. For my listeners, I do have other upcoming shows. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/oral history and check and see whatever you want to listen to. I'm also taking in for other upcoming shows. If you want to share your voice on my show and you're a survivor of domestic violence, human trafficking, whatever the case may be, you can send me a note via this page, the Blog Talk Radio page. There's a place for you to message the host. If you don't want to leave a message there, you can also contact me through my Domestic Violence Voices just put in domestic violence voices and you'll get to my page. There's a button in the upper right-hand corner where it says message, and you can leave me a message that way too. All kinds of ways to contact me. I'm happy to help you share your voice at any time, and that's going to be a little bit of the project of the hashtag Project 1 Million Voices. More details to follow, and I'll announce it on the Domestic Violence Voices page. I hope you all have a great day. Please share this show with others. You never know who might be listening, who might be able to give a clue to bring justice for Jalissa. Thank you so much, and have a great day.